instructions. Those of us who have just come yesterday, I will just give you a short brief where you are so that you can understand and relish this class better. Yesterday we accompanied Maharaj Parikshit on his walk to the Ganga. He had been cursed for dying in 7 days, and he had one question: what is my duty now? I was the emperor of the world. I had ruled it as a representative of my Lord Sri Krishna, but now all these duties are no longer with me. I am a man about to die. 7 days remain. What should I do now? How should I use this remaining time in the very best way? And Shukadeva Goswami, true to being a real teacher, summarizes his teachings in what is known amongst those who study the Bhagavatam as his final instructions. Basically, he talks about he prepares his disciple for death by talking to him about the different dynasties which come and go. Shukadeva Goswami quotes the distressful crying of Mother Earth, who says, "How foolish are the leaders of these dynasties, the impious rulers who try to possess me. They are basing all their efforts on this temporary, fleeting body, which is as short-lived as the bubbles of foam in the ocean." Then Parikshit Maharaj hears from his exalted spiritual master the mistakes, more of these mistakes of the rulers, who will become in the future more and more influenced by Kali. We heard yesterday how Shukadeva Goswami tells his disciple, look in the future, what is about to come. It tells him of the different historical developments, the age of Kali and its influence on the common people. And he also tells him that don't worry, at the very end, when people are like bandits fighting from house to house, the Lord will appear on his white house horse, Devadatta, and liberate all these people. And those who remain, as well as those who die, how will they be liberated? Have you remembered? Yes. Tibu from Swahili land has told us the answer. They will inhale the fragrance of the sweet smell of Kalvi. How does he smell? Like sandalwood, not like combat sweat. Not like sandalwood and bleeding. And they will be liberated by inhaling the fragrance of God. Yes. So, Parikshit Maharaj has asked Shukadeva Goswami, this is just maybe 20 minutes before his departure, five final questions, and they are all answered except for one very important question. And this question will be discussed today. But first of all, I would like you to understand a little bit more about Parikshit Maharaj, because if you don't understand a little bit more about his character, you might become bewildered by what you hear. And that we don't want to happen to you on the last day of the year.
And so we look here today at verse 15 of the 19th chapter of the first canto, where Parikshit Maharaj reveals something of his genuine qualities of the devotee. Tam opayatam pratiyanto vipra. Anga chadi drita citta miche. Vijo pashesha kuakasta chakova. Dashad Balanga Yata Vishnu Gata about his own attitude towards his death. He says, I I'm really not afraid. Let that snake bird, or whatever magic the Brahmana has created, to curse me to death, bite me at once. I have only one last desire. My desire is that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Don't stop when I am gone. Continue. It's good for you. Perfect. As soon as one is given, this is by Srila Prabhupada, as soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, when you have surrendered completely, he's not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the banks of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were a sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Adhiranda Swami Dhyavine Namaste Chasaya Deve Gurani Vashayine Vishesha Chunyadi December in Hamburg. That was my old father, physical father. He's 93 years of age. 93. I hope I'm correct. Is it 93? No. 89. I'm sorry. 89. But in a few weeks he's 90. So he's 90 years. And he was sitting in his armchair and he looked around to whoever was there and he said, I don't know if we will celebrate Christmas next year. My death can come in the new year to me. You know, because he has seen many of his friends, actually most of his friends, have left the body like flies when the winter comes. You know, they have really left, and he thought, I'm already 10 years older than my other friends, and I'm still here. So he said, I don't know if you can feel like me, but I'm, you know, you don't know if you will live in the next year, and when it might be painful when you live. He said, I am afraid. And then my mother spoke up. My mother is the wise one. She is 87. 87. Right. 87, that's a good age, you know, in this, when you're a little grown up, you know. And she said, you know, that it all came. It was so real when she spoke. Because, see, my mother is, whatever good qualities I have, they are from my mother, not from my father. They are from my mother. But the other good qualities, they are from my spiritual father, Srila Prabhupada. My mother said, listen very carefully. Ah, Pete. That's how she calls my father. Man muss mit dem Tod leben. Es ist eine Tatsache unseres Lebens. You know, you have to live with death. He's a fact of our life. Don't be afraid. You have to accept this. My father looked at my mother and did not dare to disagree. Mother is very strong. Extremely strong in our family. And then they look to me. What do I have to say about all this? And I had just arrived home and I didn't want to really start a philosophical discussion because whatever I say, my father on principle will disagree. And if he disagrees too strong, I become also very strong and then there is subtle warfare. Christmas show, peace on earth. So, the day after Christmas, I spoke strongly and I defeated him. Acknowledged defeat. On Christmas, I wanted to be a good, you know, submissive son, if not. Anyways, here my mother says, you have to live with this. It's part of life. Philosophers have said, have seen people who can accept that they die, they live the life more fully. But Parikshit Maharaj is much, much, much beyond this. He says, Brahmanas, look at me and just see who I am. I'm sitting here amongst you. I want you to know, because I have taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart, the Lord who gives fearlessness, I'm not afraid of the magic which will kill me. You know, this is powerful magic which will come by the Brahmins. Mantras, you know, made by this voice matter. Let it come at once. I'm not afraid. I have just one desire. Please don't stop the katha when I'm gone. Continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. So this personality completely surrendered to Krishna, completely fearless. Fearless. Here's one question to ask for this group. You have explained how we can counteract the contaminations of the age of Kali. Could you also talk, please, how time brings everything to the end? What is the effect of time? Now Shukadev thinks and decides to prepare Parikshit, his disciple, for death by telling him about the story of time. The story of time. Basically, to make it very simple, it is, he tells him how by the force of time, everything is destroyed in this universe. Nothing remains. By the force of time, every creature will sing the song, "This is the end of everything that stands, the end." It's a poem of the 60s. And so, he tells him basically, death is inevitable. He tells him what my mother told my father. You have to live with this. This is a fact of life. But he goes now into the details. Let us talk about destruction. Let us talk about the end. Now, it's a good subject to, before someone who's about to die. He says, there are four types of destructions. Naimitika is the complete destruction at the end of Brahma's day, and after it, the creation will be will come into place. It's the Prakritika. It's really when the whole creation will just merge into destruction. As you know from reading the Bhagavatam, the creation has taken place from the most subtle elements, you know, the Mahatattva and Pradhan, then later different types of false ego, different gunas in other words, and then it develops from this very invisible material substance. You know, how can you measure the ego? How can you weigh the ego into huge mountains made of earth and big universes with universal shells? Now, when the universe is completely destroyed, the process which started from the most subtle elements and from there it manifested to the most gross elements, it's put on reverse. It goes from the most gross element back to the most subtle elements, and then this also goes away. He indicates this. This is a prakritika destruction. Then he talks about the adyantika destruction. That is the complete annihilation of material existence by dissolving the false ego. And then he talks about nityada, the continuous changes which take place. It's invisible, but you do know by inference that it takes place. There's constant destruction in this room. My dear devotees, my logic see that you have been destroyed significantly, Mangala. How? In the morning, you can see the sun in the eastern position. Then you may chant your japa for 2 hours, read a little, or do other things, and look again, and you can see the sun is in a different position. Have you ever done this? You have not seen the sun moving from position A to position B. It's so invisible, it's so small, the movement. But by seeing, wow, one moment it was here and 2 hours later it's here, you do know that it has changed the position. So, invisibly, this is what Shukadev Goswami infers from this or draws out of this. Invisibly, every little second the destruction takes place in our body. The cells are invisibly destroyed. Thoughts come and go. In the words of the Bhagavatam, the universe in which you are is not as structured and stable as your senses perceive it. It's jagat, or constantly in move, like a stream of matter, and everything in it, including your own bodies and minds, which are both gross and subtle matter, is constantly moving. So Parikshit Maharaj is informed by Shukadev Goswami. Listen, you can't keep anything here. Death is inevitable. But then Shukadev tells Parikshit, the real freedom or destruction, or let us say annihilation or dissolving, it takes place when your false ego gets destroyed. I would like to read this to you. Be a little patient. 12:40. Do you sometimes want to stop your material existence? Is this of interest for you, or would you like to just continue endlessly, birth after birth? No, you also think, it would be nice if this is all over at one stage. My story comes to the end. My dear boys, although you're tired, Rangupa will open the window now for you to save your life. You can only end your material life or your material existence when you cut another bottom, your false ego. Only the moment, it's not just every one of us, everyone looks at Anandava, you really caught it this morning. No, no, it's not there, you know. My dear devotees, I want to be maybe a little bit clear so that you don't think you can avoid this point. Each single one of you has based his existence and his life on a misconception which is called aham and mamiti, I am this body and things are mine. Bhagavad Dhamma quoted yesterday in his excellent class yesterday on the basis of this verse, of a similar verse. So Shukadev Goswami tells now, my dear Parikshit, only when the illusory false ego that binds the soul has been cut off with the sword of discriminated knowledge. You know, the ego is the knot in the heart which binds the soul to all this illusion. Now, only if this has been done, and one has developed realization of Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Soul, this is called the Adyantika, or ultimate, final, irrevocable annihilation of material existence. Later, he will really talk to his he doesn't talk directly to his disciple, he talks to all conditioned souls. He will go really heavy. He will say, give up your animalistic mentality of thinking, I'm going to die. Only your false ego is going to die. You can't die. He's really getting onto this. But he will now increase the temperature. He will get now into his subjects, Shukadev Goswami. The only way for us to cut bondage is to cut the illusion of thinking, I am the body, I am German, I am Croatian, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an intelligent person, and so on. You have to cut the false identification. Then that's the end of the bondage to material existence. This is a final annihilation. He says, there is they are partial annihilations, they are continuous annihilations going on. There is complete destruction of the universe. But if you want to be free from material bondage, the ego has to be bombed. Or one devotee from the musical scene, but I will say it now a little bit more cultured. The ego has to be recognized, then we have to disidentify with it. I think this is a very good instruction, and Shukadev Goswami. Then he says, but this is not enough to cut the ego. You have to also learn to become conscious of the unfailing Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Soul. And he talks, gives a very nice verse which I want to sing to you about this. Samsara sindhu mati dushkaram utisho nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lila katha rasaniseva namantarena umso bhave nirda dukkha tavaditasya. This is the final instruction, and my dear devotees, is the answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question, what do I have to do now? Where am I living? Not only for a few more days. He says, would you like to hear this?
Yes.
Why? To live. For a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries and who desires in his heart to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. Now this was one of these sentences which is so and so philosophical that a simple sushutra like me has to really get down on what is he saying and go again to the verse to understand. He seems to say that the miseries are like an ocean in this material world, and you need a boat to cross. That is something which you need to do. I will say it in simple English. You need to develop taste for hearing about Krishna and chanting his name. Now, this is in my service to the Vaishnava community. I consider this maybe the crucial point. I mean, you might have seen, we do many retreats now all over the world, in which the whole world, except the German devotees, take part, for some reason. And in these retreats, I'm joking, they also take part. In these retreats, what the constant question which the devotees and what I am and the team and the other teachers of these retreats confront is the devotees say, but to understand, this is the saying of the scriptures, I shall chant and I shall hear about Krishna. Okay, Tika, it's empire. I'm not from the Stone Ages, I have by now registered, but I don't have any taste for this. It doesn't seem to work with me. Can you please tell us how to develop taste? Because you do something which you like and you don't do something which you dislike. It's very simple. So Shukadeva Goswami seems to know about this problem, and therefore he says, he speaks of cultivation of taste, something which is which is cultivated by service. And he has talked about in the second canto what you need to do to develop taste. First of all, he says, you have to work on your faith. You have to listen and chant Shraddhaya with faith. If you don't have faith in this, you will not, it will not be alive in you. No? Shraddhaya. Then he says, this faith will come by Nityala. Nityala, it means a constant practice which you do every day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of doing, chanting with affectionate respect the holy name. Affectionate respect. You have respect. Yes, you are very high and I am whatever I am. But please bless me. Haridas Thakur goes even more into the detail. He says, the big problem which people have is they are distracted from Krishna and therefore also distracted from chanting and hearing about Krishna. And he says something astonishing. He says, simply by one's own efforts, it's impossible to conquer the mind and its distractedness. But, he says, by the mercy of Krishna it's possible. So I need to beg for your mercy. Nityada, constant practice, trying again. And then he says, Svacheshita. Now this is something very deep. Svacheshita means, sva means one's own, cheshita, effort. What effort do you have to do in order to take the medicine? Sometimes a patient is so bad that he can't take the medicine. I was like this in the Ayurvedic hospital. They gave this medicine and after 3 days they give you a medicine which is, it's called basti. If you know this word, you will be afraid. Basti means 2 hours on the toilet. I do not want to talk more before breakfast about fasting. and then they gave the fasting to me, it had the counter effect. I just developed so much pain in my stomach. And I felt that this is the end, All right. Take me into a jeep and drive me to Vrindavan and throw me on the earth. That would be the best way to end. It was really painful, very bad. I could not, and they said, we want to now give you another basti. I said, no basti. I'm already dying from this basti which I have. I couldn't take the medicine any longer because my body was not in such good shape. So in Kali Yuga, Shukadeva Goswami said about this, people are so unfortunate that one holy name properly chanted can save them, but even on their deathbed they will not chant properly. come and take the medicine. So you must do some effort. The effort which we did is we phoned the doctor Superman and said, this is the problem, can you help? And he said, you can't take the medicine? You are a serious case. Then let me think. And then he knew the right pills and the right combinations and everything. After 2 hours, it worked again. So in order to take the medicine, my dear devotees, you must also be ready to do some special effort. It's called Svacheshtitam. And Prabhupada tells us what this effort is. In order to hear either Krishna's name or Krishna's pastimes with rapt attention, that means without distraction, you have to have a pure mind. And you can only have a pure mind if your activities are pure. When we all the time look at movies, then when you chant, there's one big movie up there. It's not the holy names. And you have to develop pure habits. That's why we follow rules and regulations which govern our lives. This will purify you, or prepare you, this program, purify good habits, good activities, purifying the mind, and then you can be focused. If you don't do this medicine, if you don't take this medicine, and you won't be able to focus. If you talk also politics amongst devotees, if you are always a fault finder, if you are always a difficult person and have always a little war inside your mind with you against the rest of the world, then it is very difficult to focus on something so high and pure as the holy name it is and Krishna Katha. Therefore you must maybe work on these levels, and for this we are working on something very, very powerful. It's called the Tree of Life, which I strongly feel we need to introduce in the West to stabilize the troubled position of people who are very kind of difficult to engage in spiritual practice. But the point here is very simple. Shukadev Goswami has spoken about it many times. You know this shloka, that you have to accept the lotus feet of Krishna. Take shelter in Krishna's lotus feet. He has sung this verse earlier. Samashitaye padapadavam plavam mahatpadam punyaya shomurare Bhavam Muni Vatsa Padam 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 Padamadaya Vipadam Natesham. Krishna's mercy for every verse of this verse. I usually forget every verse. So he says, if you want to cross this huge ocean of destruction, you know, where everything will end sooner or later, you have to accept the lotus feet of the Lord. And if you do that, this huge ocean begins to shrink to the size of the water contained in the hoof print of a car. Very small, very small. Mm-hmm. And you can step easily over it. And he speaks basically, he says, cultivate bhakti for Krishna. So, in summary, he says there are four kinds of annihilation. Thus, this is unavoidable, but the death pertains only to the body. Shukadev Goswami has now spoken. He has finished his instructions. He has given his disciple a safe boat to cross the ocean of misery. The katha has ended. Now he looks over his audience have they understood. He spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, but for 7 days and nights, everyone, this place was a few, many thousands of people, were listening with rapt attention. Had they understood? And as he looked around, he saw many of these people were not devotees of Krishna like Parikshit Maharaj. Most of them were Yamanis and yogis who had not yet developed a taste for Krishna. And he did something which is so loving and which shows you the quality of Shukadev, the speaker. He thought in his mind, oh no, my God, I have talked about the most valuable thing, that is devotion to Krishna. But these people can't appreciate it. It's like throwing pearls before the monkeys of Vrindavan. They can't appreciate it, really. So, when a person, I think this happens to all of us, when you talk about something which is most dear to you, it's almost like taking a jewel, which is your most secret jewel, out of your heart and of a bird, and then you see, people cannot appreciate it. Then you quickly make a trick. You say, sorry. Take the jewel back. And you present a lesser jewel and say, this is the best. Is it sometimes not like this? When you say something about your most dearest project and you see people look at you, and then you quickly use Paroksha Vahara. You cover this and you say, something more is important. It's more important. Isn't it sometimes you, something slips out of your tongue and you feel the people do not like it, and you go take the statement back by saying something else is more important. This is what Shukadev Goswami does. He will now speak not on bhakti but on jnana. And what he also does, and you must be very careful, this might happen to you, he tests Parikshit Maharaj by speaking something which is not as high as what he has talked about, that is taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, developing taste for Krishna, serving Krishna. He tests him. You know, we were reading this verse. There Parikshit's qualities shine forth. We had discussed how Parikshit Maharaj says, I have no fear of death. Now I'm fully surrendered to Krishna, but now Shukadev will test him. Give up your animalistic mentality of thinking, I'm going to die. You are entirely distinct from the body. Try to understand in a dream what sometimes sees how his own head is being cut off. And that's when he understands that his actual self is standing apart from the dream body. When I was flying on Emirates, someone before me looked at a movie, and there was such a good sequence that I your mind gets glued to the movie, and it was shown that some maybe criminals, I don't know, because there was no sound. They laid on a podium, then the hangman came and put a rope around their head. And then, one, two, three, the bottom, the ground was removed and they fell and they were hanged to death. I saw this and I thought, my God, this is what I get when I look at movies. It was not a good plan. And I just, went to something else. And then I fell asleep. And then I dreamt I was brought up to a podium. And then the hangman came and put a rope around my neck. And I went like, oh no, please, I will follow me. I have many bad things, but I'm not a criminal. You know, I eat too much, but this is just a minor problem. You know, just you made a mistake. You know, and no, they were sure I was the right person. So they took the floor and underneath, and I remember I fell down, and then I fell on my neck. And then I saw myself just moving in the breeze, you know, like this. And I understood that it was an illusion, because if I would have been hanged, really, I wouldn't be able to see all this. Me, my body, you know, just moving in the breeze, you know. And I understood. So, Sukadeva Goswami, so in this way, a dreamer can understand, I'm distinct from what I see in the dream. So, Sukadeva Goswami says, you can also see the body as something distinct from you. Why identify with it? Why should I lament when I see the scene in my dream? I'm living, everything is alright. I can wake up and eat nuts and raisins, you know. No problem. Similarly, while awake, Shubhadev says, one can see that the material body is a product of the five elements. The body, one's qualities and acts, are all created by the material mind, which itself is created by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord. If you want to understand this more, please listen to the lecture of Bhagavad Dharma he gave yesterday. He talked about this in great detail with a fantastic illustration and advised us how to focus our mind. And so, therefore, meditate on Lord Vasudev and consider your true self situated within the material covering. So this was not Vasish and necessary for Parikshit Maharaj. He was totally away from this. And Parikshit Maharaj, a wonderful devotee, he understood my guru is preaching to the others. Sukadeva Goswami then said, do you have any further question? Parikshit Maharaj looked up. Parikshit Maharaj, the greatest emperor of the world, what a loss. He was cursed. He was now getting ready. He stood up. He came forward. Then bowed down before Shukadeva Goswami's feet. And then he speaks. You have to remember, he has lived his whole life as a devotee of Krishna. His entire life is under the protection of Krishna. And he has full faith. Soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally, with your own mouth, spoken to me this excellent narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Actually, it's not really amazing that great souls such as yourself have shown mercy to foolish conditioned souls. You are so merciful to those who are tormented by the problems of material life. Your mind is totally absorbed in Krishna. I have heard from you the Srimad Bhagavatam. I have heard you. Oh Shukadev, I now have no fear of Takshaka, who will bring my death. I do not fear any other living being. I do not even fear repeated death and birth, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth that you have revealed to me, which destroys all fear. Oh Brahma, please now give me your permission to resign my speech. And I want to offer everything, the function of all my senses, unto Lord Adokshaya. Allow me to absorb my mind, which is purified of all lusty desires, within Krishna, and to thus give up my life. Shukadev Goswami heard how his disciple asked him for permission to now be silent and absorb himself. He gave his permission and he left. Just like he had come, he stood up and he just walked out of the assembly. Parikshit then sat down on a seat of dava grass, whose things pointed towards the north. No, he looked towards the north. That's where perfected soul look when they die. He was free of all material attachment, all doubt, and he started to meditate about Krishna. And as he meditated, the Lord appeared before him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he fainted with bliss, seeing his Lord. Finally, he had come. His life error, Brahmas, stopped. And he became stationary like a tree. It was not rigor mortis. It was just like that. Everything stopped. And then he left and on his own went back home, back to Godhead. Moments later, in the disguise of a Brahmana, that mystical snake being, Takshaka, came to the king who was sitting in meditation of trance of bhakti, and he bit him with his poisonous And then he turned into a snake. Everyone was like, oh! But they saw that, and he bit him into the feet. And the moment the poison struck, the whole body of Parikshit started to burn and fall into a heap of ashes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said this was not actually unbeneficial or bad. It was a little bit like when the father has died, the oldest son will come, take the fire and place the fire in the mouth of the corpse, you know, the of the dead body, and incinerate, you know, the whole funeral pyre. So it was like that. And he had left already, Parikshit Maharaj. He had gone back to Godhead. But Marutakshaka was like his oldest son and burned the dead body. My dear devotees, there arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions, on the earth and in the heavens, everywhere. And all the demigods, the demons also, the humans and others, were amazed. Why were they amazed? They realized a great soul and departed. At that moment, heavenly music started. Kettle drums were sounded. Celestial Gandharvas came. Apsaras sang. And the Devatas showered flowers and offered words of praise. And this is how Parikshit Maharaj left. Now on this day, just a day before a new year starts, and it will have a very special start, because we have heard that this is the most amazing astrological constellation on the 1st of January. It's not like an ordinary 1st of January, you know, fog and cold and hopeless and so on. On this last day, I request all of you to make a special effort for one more time, listen to this one verse, the final instruction. The Shukadeva Goswami says that there is no better boat for someone who's drowning in the material jagat, the constantly moving universe, then to cultivate a taste by seva, by service, to two things, the narrations of Krishna and his holy name. I request all of you that this message sinks into your heart, and that you make a personal plan how you can cultivate your own attachment to Krishna consciousness more. Because it is simple, Yamunaji. If you can think of Krishna, you feel well. If you cannot think of Krishna, you feel bad. Isn't it? It's very simple. It's not something you don't have to be concerned to construe. I feel that in my life. I feel good if I'm in Krishna consciousness, and if I'm in anxieties about projects or about people, you know, then I feel they have finished. So how can one cultivate a taste for this? What can one do? What special effort can one do? We will today have a wonderful program in the evening. And, you know, we have reduced the 12-hour kirtan to 6-hour kirtan, because we know that it is very difficult for all of us to just sit constantly for 12 hours in the kirtan. But we think because such good kirtan has come and joined us from Radhadesh and Ojashri is there and so on, that it will be very much possible to sit for all of us from 6 o'clock in the evening up to 12 o'clock. Let's try to do the seva, the service. I know it is a little unusual for some of us, and we constantly have to take care of things, our children make phone calls and so on, and eat something and talk something and so on. That's the necessities of the body and the mind. But in this day evening, I request you, I sincerely request you to follow the path of your sacred longing. You are all great devotees. You have joined this movement. You have faith in the Bhagavata. You are moved when you hear how Parikshit Maharaj talks at his last few moments. I could see some of you were even crying. I could see this. That means you have an attachment. You are wonderful. You're great souls. Sometimes when I poke you a little in the side, I'm only doing it to make you even more greater souls. Today I simply request you, cultivate a taste, make an effort. Don't follow the necessity of the mind and the body. You can eat and talk and sleep sufficiently and do everything you want, go on the internet, see something interesting here and there. You can do all this, but at 6 o'clock, please make it a point to be there. And then let us sing for Krishna. And in this way, cultivate a taste. This will be very good medicine. It will empower you for the next year and to do wonderful. Then we will have 5 minutes before 12, everything serves, and then the surprise starts, which you will most probably never forget. Again, tell you what it is. That's, so please stay there, because maybe some of you get tired. Make sure you are there. And we will go, then we will have a special darshan of Radha Madan Mohan, and then we will sing a little bit more and start a new calendar year. After all, only an imagination of the rest of this calendar year. But we use this to become more fixed up in our spiritual life. We will all be empowered. And then we will be able to conquer the weakness of our own hearts, which at times is troublesome. Got it. Finish. So I want to see now, are there one or two questions to this? I will see this Pujarini. No, there's just one question. Yes, Pujarini.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the final series of classes that you gave us, the final instruction. I would just like to revisit and study that on my own as well. So for that, could you give us the reference, please, for the Svacheshtita that you were talking about?
Svacheshtita, that's in the second canto. Can you give me your email address? I will have to look it up in the book.
Thank you.
These three things which we do to cultivate a taste is Shraddha. We should listen with faith. We should do this Nityada on a regular basis. Don't stop. It's in a way, for me, Krishna consciousness is like boiling water. We have a water boiler at home where we live in Gaurabhavan, and when you want to bring the water to the boiling point, you can't interrupt the process. You have to just let it let the heat come for some time and then it boils. So before all of us come to the boiling point of Radha Bhakti, that is Bhakti with a deep attachment, we have to, the practice has to go on, you know, and we can't stop the practice, so that we again become cold, then try to again become warm. It takes extra effort to become again warm, then you always switch off, you know, so nityada, do it constantly, and finally do it svacheshtitam with an effort.
I have a question. I remember once Lokanath Maharaj was mentioning that even demigods wanted to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, but they were not qualified to take part. And while you were explaining, you said that the yogis and jnanis were sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So what gives the qualification that they were part of this as audience, and what happened afterwards?
Yeah, it is a fact that the demigods, they understood that Shukadeva Goswami will now talk for 7 days the Amrita Katha, the narrations which make one immortal. So they thought, although we drink Amrita juice, which is said to make us immortal, we can't escape the final destruction, you know, one of these four destructions, the final. So it would be nice if we can get Shukadeva Goswami to our place, the heavenly planets, and we just give Parikshit Maharaj that now some of our Amrita, which will make him live long, then he has no problem. Amrita is a, the demigods drink it, and how long do they live for? Millions of years, you know. Let us exchange. we have a good price to pay. So they came and they said, before this starts, we will offer Parikshit Maharaj our Amrita, and in exchange he has to agree and everyone that we take Shukadeva Goswami and do the katha in the heavenly planets where we live, you know. We can't touch the earth really, we are devatas, you don't understand this. Shukadeva Goswami said, no, your Amrita is not Amrita. It doesn't make you deathless. This is like paying 1 cent for BMW Torino. I'm saying in German words. What it means, you can't, this price is not sufficient. You can't buy this kata. It is so much more. Don't, the Amrita is useless in comparison. So they were not qualified. They didn't have the right emotional attitude. And so did the jnanis. They also didn't have. What is the qualification which we need? My guru told us, for bhakti, you only need one qualification. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks about this. It's the entrance door into the palace of bhakti. This, you need to go through this door, and that is Shraddha. For bhakti, only faith is required. I mean, strong faith, the different degrees of faith. For karma, you need to be very good for these rituals and karma kanda. Ooh, one little mistake. You need to be so expert. For jnana, what is your name?
Sudama
Prabhu. So if you want to follow the jnana process, you need to be so renounced. It's not possible for us. For bhakti, only faith is required. But if that faith is not there, you need to strengthen the faith. And This is a very good question. What is the qualification? It's really, when you go through our Shastras, it's only Shraddha. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, which discusses an unqualified devotee. The verse says like this: although this devotee has understood that material sense gratification doesn't make him happy, he cannot yet leave it. But no problem. That is not a disqualification. He should just continue to listen about Krishna with faith. That's all. Faith is really the basis. Not even renunciation. You don't need to be a Gaura Hari. Krishna, I'm talking in modern ways, you know. Oh, another Vara. Krishna. You just have to have faith in Krishna. And you can be whatever you are, where you are as a human being. No problem. It's alright. I mean, don't sin, but you can be the person you are. You don't have to neglect that humanness in you, that these needs which you still have, maybe to when you are in the temple, that you feel like, oh, it's getting too much, I think I need a bicycle tour of 1 hour minimum, you know, to just, you know, that's normal. It's not a disqualification. You are what you are, what has been given to you. But strengthen your faith. The faith is that is what is necessary. And for that, such programs as the devotees of Goloka Dham have arranged. They call it the Sangha Mela. A festival of association is good, because we sit together, we hear about Krishna, we chant, we eat prasadam, we talk about our questions with each other, we ask about other devotees to learn from their examples, we talk about projects which we wish to do, strengthen our resolve. Resolve means like determination in spiritual life, in the Sangha. That's how faith comes, in the Sadhu Sangha. It comes. It comes also when you read in the Bhagavatam. Then the faith will come, because you'll begin to understand this is really true. It comes by all the processes of devotional service, but Sadhu Sangha is recommended over and above everything, because you do everything in Sadhu Sangha. Sangha Vela, you know, it's not just about meeting each other, although this is a very essential part of it, but we sing together the holy name, we hear the Bhagavatam together, we visit the Dham, at least it's in a slideshow. You know, and we worship the deity by singing for Radha Madan Mohan. Everything is happening in Sadhu Sangha. All of it's a complete package, so to say. And therefore, it is given the first importance for developing Shraddha. Very good question, Sudama Prabhu. You know, for me, something happened, and I did. I have some faith in the chanting of the holy name by Prabhupada's mercy. Also, because I'm hopeless, there's nothing else which works, and so on. But the other is also, I discovered the Bhagavatam in my life. Just reading the Bhagavatam. And then I sometimes like to, when someone comes in my room, I say, listen to this verse. And then wow, the devotee says, what a nice verse. Can I note that down? Of course. And then we discuss about the verse. That's very good. How did you understand this verse? Yeah, this is my understanding of the verse. Oh, good. Oh, I didn't see it like this. Thank you. That's what Prabhupada, he said, you must discuss from all angles of perspective. The Bhagavatam, Sudama, let us not underestimate. And now we have brought this, you know, the final instructions. I think we have, oh my God, I didn't know it's so important, you know. Maybe I should buy in the shop at Bhagavatam Center or order from Radhadish. They are here, the Radhadish devotees, that can take my order directly to Vishnumurti and then it can be directly sent to me.
Even Vishnumurti is here.
Wow! Where is he? Vishnumurti, can you just so that they see you? This is my book supplier, Vishnumurti Prabhu, and he has all the books of Bhagavatam. You just contact him and you will get a special New Year's prize. I mean, I actually don't want to discuss this, which I can't say this. Yeah. But he is a kind of person. So, yeah. Krishna, so important. So important. When Prabhupada left his was about to leave his body, he said, in the 13th chapter, he went of the 10th canto, he went up to the beginning verses of the 14th chapter and then he left. But in the 13th chapter, this is one of the last verses, he says, he requests all the devotees to regularly read the Bhagavatam. He says this. And you know, it's my dear devotees, you just have to do it a little regularly, like, you know, maybe the first week it's a little difficult. You know, yesterday Bhagavatam came to me and said he makes sure he reads every day Bhagavatam. And then one devotee of the castle who has two children who are running, one children runs left, the other runs right. It's the whole day when you come into the apartment, it looks constantly as if an atom bomb exploded just a minute ago, because the children are just so playful and there is no point of putting it in order. But even this devotee, it's a Mataji, who Mataji means has to take more care of the children than the men, because the children need the mother more when they're small. She also reads every day 1 hour in the Bhagavatam. She can do it. It's possible. You have to maybe go a little earlier to bed and then before the children rise. Maybe the children rise at, I mean, they always play, at least in that household. I see them as midnight ramblers. They must sleep long in the morning, so they get up in the morning and then reads the Mataji. Huh? It works. This Bhagavatam, Prabhupada, he actually said he gave this book to us so that our shraddha, our faith, can increase. He says that in the invocation, that the shraddha becomes, and that's the qualification. Become rich, my dear devotees. Become rich. Become greedy for wealth, the wealth of shraddha. Because if you have the wealth of shraddha, there's one devotee, my team always says something is incredibly true. But the devotee goes, it's really very, very, with the wealth of shraddha, you have the price to go back home, back to God. You have the qualification. Bhagavatam, Srila. Very important for you. All right, we are getting now into it. I should now stop, otherwise I will not allow you to eat your prasadam and talk to you. I thank you so much for listening. Really, it is such an honor for me to discuss these subjects amongst sincere searchers in Krishna consciousness. It's really the dream of these are subject matters which we need to be aware of. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.